Coming up on Dig It.
Don't you find in your bra drawer there are always bras that you just, you reach for? Like there are maybe two or three that you wear all the freaking time and the rest of them you never touch.
You never touch them.
Walked in, first thing I see is the Easter egg display.
Oh, come on.
What the f***?
No.
Honestly, slow down.
It's not on, is it? It's outrageous.
Jude was standing there stark naked with a hairdryer just trying to dry himself. And we were like, Jude, put it away. Put it away. But he was like, I'm so cold. All of that right after this.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, Joe.
Hi.
How are you, darling?
I'm all right. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very excited. We woke up today, first day back at school run. Both Nell and I were up the crack of dawn, and I just heard Nell go, Mum, there's snow. So we've had a smattering of snow down on the coast, and we don't get it very often down here. So it was really, really exciting. And it's probably going to be gone in seconds, but the garden looks so pretty with all the little shoots coming through. Popped out there this morning, and it really makes you appreciate your winter interest. All the grasses look lovely in the frost, and the seed heads. And it feels really, really pretty, but not so crazy that we couldn't get about, because it's quite hilly in Brighton and it can be a bit tricky for people on the school run. So yeah, poor Nell, she's gone back and it's mock start tomorrow. So it's heads down.
Oh God, it's been painful going back to school. Like a lot of like, oh God, do I really have to go to school? No, you really do. And it's quite hard. But the ice and the excitement of how freezing it has been made it a lot easier today. We had to do a list over the weekend because she was so dreading going back to school. And I was like, right, okay, I know it's really hard when you get to January and February. They're very dark and challenging months. So let's make a list of all the things that you look forward to or any treats that you want to do. Whether it's going to, there's an amazing stationery shop that I go to in London called Choose and Keeping. And if you're into your paper, you're into your pens, you're into artwork, that place is honestly, it's like the mecca. It's beautiful. So when you know you've always wanted to go to Choose and Keeping, let's do that one weekend. So that's on the list. Should we get a pedicure together? That is on the list. It's just giving yourself something to look forward to throughout the next coming months when it is going to be dark, it is going to be cold, you are back at work, you are back at school. I think it really, really is important to give yourself treats, don't you?
I think this is a great idea. And actually, this reminds me of, firstly, I must say congratulations to Danny, who's one of our Dig It editors, who got engaged to his partner, Vera.
Yes.
So congratulations to them. But this was their first gift of something they like to call Jolly January.
Yeah.
Which is such an ingenious idea. And if you want to know more about Danny and Vera's Jolly January, because this could be a good idea for you guys if you're feeling it a bit this month, here's how it works. Here's Danny.
Hi, Joe and Zoe. Happy New Year. So we all know January can be a bit of a struggle, you know, post-Christmas blues, bills, taxes, terrible weather, and not much to look forward to, really. So me and my partner Vera came up with the idea of Jolly January to brighten up a difficult month. So how it works is that we give each other 7 small gifts spread out across January. We use ChatGPT to work out the dates fairly. And we alternate gift days, meaning we're not giving each other presents on the same day, except for the very last day of the month, when we both exchange gifts to celebrate finally making it through January. The gifts are all small and budget friendly. We aim to stay within £5. Now, there's obvious choices like coffee, chocolate, flowers, socks, that kind of thing. But you can also just do nice gestures like cooking a special dinner or something more creative, even like a poem.
Oh.
Now, it works best with someone you live with. So a partner, flatmate or family member, ideally. But honestly, it's helped us get through the darkest month. So I would happily recommend it to anyone.
Thank you, Danny. Oh, that God. Is brilliant. Danny, congratulations, that's great. To Danny and Vera. Hooray for love. Hooray for love. Jolly January gets the international signal. This has been these are 2 of my favourite Christmas presents, the happy face spoon and the not so happy face spoon. And sometimes this is being used to communicate when people are going through a tough time, which might have happened in the household where it's like, are we feeling or are we feeling... And then if somebody holds this up, you're like, okay, you just need a hug. You don't need to ask. Aren't they brilliant? But very happy for Vera and Danny. Well, what a great idea, Jolly January.
Yeah, kind of like an advent calendar, but post-Christmas. I really love that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we do need things to look forward to.
We do. It's such a good idea because you do get that real aftermath, don't you? And it's been a particularly...
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, it worked out quite well this Christmas and New Year that everybody got a decent amount of time, a lot of people, not everybody, got a decent amount of time off or time with their family or time, you know, just to themselves doing what they needed. So it can be a bit of a brutal ripping the plaster off when you go back. It's like, oh, God, it's January and it's dark at 4:30 and da 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 da. So Jolly January, maybe this is something that our diggers would like to adopt.
I love that idea.
It's tricky because no one's got any money left in January because everyone's sort of bought all the presents. This household, we've got 2 Capricorns as well. So we've got a birthday at the weekend and then a birthday next week.
Wow.
In this household. And I always feel really sorry for people who've got birthdays in January because no one's got any money left and no one's got any time left to go out. You're like, what? But I try and make a big fuss of both of them. What you're doing, you're doing with Coco is a good idea. Adopt some lovely things to do.
Yeah, no, it did. It just made a real difference to her. She was like, oh, okay, all right, fine. So it's all those things that she's wanted to do and we've talked about doing for ages. Even just like a day to go shopping together or, you know, we went bra shopping over the weekend.
Yes.
We have talked about doing that forever and a day. And coming back with a whole rack of bras is a really great feeling. You've got clean bras to wear. You're going to feel supported and you know you're going to look good going into January. So that made a difference. So yeah, it's tiny little things.
Do you know what?
But I love the idea of like writing a poem or writing a letter or making a meal, cooking a meal for somebody. That is such a treat. It's so beautiful.
I got some really good cookbooks for Christmas, actually. Martha Collison. And also, is it Matty Matheson who's in The Bear? I got his cookbook as well. So I've been like thumbing through them and sort of placing lots of recipes of like, right, I'm going to try that. I'm going to do this. So some fresh recipes in the household, which would be good. This reminds me, I need to clear my bra drawer out because I lost some weight, which has been brilliant. No one can really tell, but all my bras don't fit anymore. And so I need to get rid of loads of the other ones. So there's loads of really good bra banks where you can take your bras as well.
Oh, I didn't know.
So I need to find out where my local bra bank is. Because obviously, you know, they're a good bit of engineering and they're in quite good nick. Not the grey ones and the ones that have been through a bad wash. But I've got quite a few nice ones. But I need to get rid of all the bras that are taking up the drawer space that don't fit. And just put in 2 or 3 ones that fit nicely.
Don't you find in your bra drawer, there are always bras that you reach for. Like there are maybe 2 or 3 that you wear all the freaking time. And the rest of them, you never touch. They might show a nipple. They might be lacy, but they're really uncomfortable. So
just
you just
the
don't
one
ever
nipple.
Wear them.
I like it. I just want the one nipple out today, not both.
Yeah,
thank
that bra.
You.
I don't wear that very often.
I've
Do you know what I mean? They're
the ones I put on and I don't even make it halfway through the day because they're so itchy behind. It's like, oh, God, this is so uncomfortable. Get it off.
I just want to mention M&S because I used to go to an M&S years ago and then Coco was like, oh, should we go there and look for bras? And in my head, I just thought it was going to be fairly uncool and very boring. It was amazing. The quality of the bras we bought and the cost of them was so fantastic. It was all really affordable stuff, really well made. We were left in private to just try them on. We could have had assistance if we wanted to. We took in like 100 bras to try on and they were absolutely fine with it. So we had such a great experience just by going to good old Marks and Spencer's. It was really good, really great experience.
Yeah, they're really, really good. I'll go there later, actually.
Yeah.
The lodger accidentally shrunk my cashmere polo neck jumper and might have to replace it.
How did you react? I love this question. How, when somebody ruins something you really love, how do you react?
Well, there's that thing where I think, oh, don't say anything. But then I thought, well, no, I need to say something because then he won't do it again. And it's not his fault. It was in, but I had deliberately thrown my jumper on the floor because I was going to wear it the next day. And I think he just scooped up all the washing. How lovely of him to do the washing. I should be really grateful.
Yeah, how thoughtful.
And he just shoved it all in. But I did sort of make a point of hanging it on the radiator. My mate M always gets all like my shrunken jumpers. Yeah. But I think this is like beyond.
It'll fit a teddy bear.
I think it would only fit a pet, yes, or a teddy bear. He was like, oh, I'll buy you a new one. I was like, no, it's fine, it's fine. But I did feel really bad. I thought, don't make him feel really guilty about it. But I just rediscovered it.
But this is where I got it from. I absolutely would have said, no, here's the shop.
This is from M&S. It's their cashmere range. Things for me to do in January. I'm going to, I need to do sort my bras. Going to go to the dance class on Thursday. Do you remember I was talking about going to dancing?
Happening?
So me, my friend David, and I think my friend Emma is going to come with us too. And I am finally going to start doing my RHS, is it two course, my gardening course.
Is that online? I don't
online.
Know how you do this.
Yeah, it's learning. Ah. It's called Learning with Experts. And it's, I was talking to another lovely friend at Christmas, Sophie, and she was saying she had done it. She's like, you'll love it. It's so lovely. Ah. And you learn loads about gardening. So fingers crossed, they're the things that I'm going to try and do. Can you kind of check in on me and check that I'm doing them?
Yes, Jo? I will. No, I Thank absolutely you. Will. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You played an excellent game at Christmas.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Please tell us about it because you guys are very good at games.
We had a really hard Christmas. It was like, for reasons I won't go into, but it was freaking difficult and very dark and sad and awful.
I'm so sorry, darling.
But board games got us through it and friends and family who are amazing. But we played this game, and this is a masterpiece, which I used to play when I was a kid. So I think it's a game of the 70s, probably. So anyone my kind of age will go, oh, my God, yes, I remember playing this with my mum and dad. And the gorgeous Maisie bought this for me last year, and I hadn't played it. So we got it out at Christmas time. It's basically you have cards that are classic works of art, you know, Rembrandt's and Cézanne and all these different people. And you have another pack of cards that are the cost, the amount that they are worth. And you don't know how much your card is going to be, what your artwork is going to be worth. And then you are given the card. I'm so bad at explaining games. Basically, it's a game of bluff. So you have a bit of art, you have a price attached to it. You have to persuade other people it's worth £20 million, but it's actually a forgery. And you just, the game goes on.
Oh,
but
wow.
God, we loved it. The kids had never heard of it, obviously, because it was an old game. And we had so much fun just kind of tricking people and making as much money as possible. And it was really good. Heartily recommend a board game. And this was like an oldie, but a goodie, resurrecting it, bringing it back.
The lodger hates board games because
no.
They remind him of sibling rivalry when you're kids. You know, I've got a couple of friends who won't play board games. My friend Ben hates board games as well. And it's just because it's triggering back to childhood with, depending on where your role was within the family, that if it always kicked off during a board game. But I was trying to say to the lodger the other day, it's like, it doesn't matter if it kicks off. It's not serious. It's just fun. He's like, no, I absolutely will not play any games. And I was trying to get his niece and nephew, we were playing Rummy, and I was like, come on, it's just Rummy. What could possibly happen? Could we have a row about Rummy? So this is my thing. This year I will try to get the lodger to play some games. I'll let you know how we get on with that. Masterpiece, right? That's going to be ordered that one up.
My mum and dad do not like playing games. My dad has always done crosswords and the odd quiz, but my mum really doesn't like it and her sister doesn't either. Whereas for me, I think it's an amazing distraction. When you're sitting around a table, I don't want kind of really heavy political discourse. I want to have a really easy flowing laugh. I want the conversation to just flow really freely. I want everyone everyone to have jokes and be entertained. So we will always be doing quizzes while we're eating dinner, or we'll have a game of cards on the go, and then we'll have a board game afterwards. And it's just really good fun. So I cannot get my head around people who don't play games. But my mum will, if we ever sort of go, oh, let's play charades or let's do this, she's like, oh, why are we doing this? And she really does not like it. So it's obviously, it's some sort of mindset.
I think it is.
People don't like it. I don't know about the triggering thing.
I think I do know that thing, that if you're in a family where it kicks off with board games. I mean, I remember chess sets being thrown across the room and stuff. Because, you know, if you're really hideously competitive and if it comes to fisticuffs sometimes within a family space over board games, or someone not having any patience, or if it kicks off there, I can understand that would be quite triggering to then play a board game years later, I guess. But your family obviously will get on. Does anyone cheat? Are you all really competitive, or you just are really good and all get on playing board games?
No, I mean, Cass basically will study the rules for days before we play a game. So he will go into that game knowing exactly how to win. He will have Googled it. He will have done everything he can. So he just wins everything. And we accept that. That's absolutely fine. So when he lost Masterpiece the last time and he didn't have any paintings, he didn't have any money. Oh my God, did we rub it in? No, we absolutely did. And poor Jude, who is the older brother, is just like, they play chess a lot. They've discovered chess over the last year and they absolutely love it. And Jude is always trying to beat Cass, and on the occasion when it does happen, he's won an Olympic gold medal. He is so happy. But for the majority of time, Cass just wins, end of. And but I have to say, Coco's got a lot better as she's got older. She's now giving Cass a run for his money.
Excellent.
But yeah, there's an element of competitiveness, and it'll be Jude who at times will suddenly like just walk away from the chessboard and will just go for a long dog walk because he is so furious that he has lost. He cannot cope with it. Whereas I'm fine if I lose. I really don't care. I really don't mind. If you're loving Dig It, hit follow or subscribe wherever you get this podcast. New episodes will be in your inbox every single week.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Did you see the story, by the way, about the mum who's a GP who she wanted to go and pick her kids up from school? She had a full day at work. She faked some appointments so that she could get away from work early to go and pick up the kids so that she would be able to be there at the end of the day to do the school run home. I wonder what you thought about that. I mean, she's been suspended for 5 months, which is a lot of income to go from her house.
Right.
But what do you think? I'm really conflicted about this story, really conflicted.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? I think it just sort of highlights the issue with childcare for many families.
Yeah.
At the moment, you know, that, you know, I know lots of friends, you know, they need childcare to do their jobs. So much of their wages and their money goes on childcare. And sometimes for families, it's that balance. I think there is obviously an issue for a lot of people, because also, you know, schools are finishing at 3:30, schools start at whatever time. And I know a lot of kids can go to breakfast club at school and then after school club. But for a lot of parents, it is really tough covering childcare and the hours of a working day as well. So I guess the rules have to be the same for everybody.
Yeah.
Was it a situation where there was no one else to pick her kids up?
Yeah, maybe it was an emergency.
Sometimes there are emergency situations, aren't there, where you really have to drop everything you're doing. And in certain jobs, you could do that. And in other jobs, your, you know, employees will not take kindly to that at all. So there's a lot of people out there who probably couldn't drop everything and rush. So I think, yeah, there'll probably be people who work full hours, who have kids, who are struggling, that would find this sort of, you know, outrageous. And like you say, and people who are trying to get appointments with their GPs. And I also know that lots of GPs are so overworked, and NHS
Absolutely.
Staff are so overworked.
Yeah. It's very difficult, isn't it? Because anybody working any job, there are sacrifices that you have to make. I know I've talked about this before, but being doing my show, which is, you know, an amazing job to have, but it has meant that I miss out on the bedtime routine with my kids as they've grown up. And that's been a sacrifice that I've had to make for the job. And it sounds quite lightweight, but actually it really has impacted the children. They've been incredibly sad at times when I've not been able to go to various concerts or to pick them up from school or just to hang around in the evening and watch television. But, you know, every job, every person's situation means that there are sacrifices along the way. But it does have a genuine impact on a child and their happiness sometimes and their mental health. So, you know, there are sympathies with this GP who did that. And for anybody
absolutely.
Who has to make sacrifices with their jobs, whether you work in a bank, whether you're a cleaner, whether you work in a post office, whatever your job is. And that applies to mums and dads alike. You know, I know from doing my radio show, the amount of long distance drivers, truckers, who say that they haven't seen their kids all week long and they can't wait to get home. And, you know, it's tale as old as time, I guess. Whatever job you do impacts your family life.
And you think about a lot of jobs where you work away, you know, armed forces,
there are
people who work away and can't be there for their kids.
I'm thinking about when I was growing up, how it was for me with my mum and dad, and I really just didn't see my dad very much. He was an electrician, so he was on building sites all the time. He'd leave really early in the morning and come back late at night, so I don't have really strong memories of him being there. And then my mum just took me to work with her. I used to go to work all the time. She was a cleaner, she used to clean a church, and I used to really enjoy being with her and helping her to clean the church. And then she worked in a shop and a hairdresser's. If I had sick days, I'd just go and sit with a bag of crisps and a sandwich and some pop, and I'd just be in the background while she was again working, because that's we didn't really have childcare. I didn't go to a nursery. I didn't have a childminder at all. She did what she had to do, looking after me and my sister as well, of course.
And a lot of households, it's, you know, the older siblings just look after the younger kids as well, because, you know, there's no extra money for childcare. So it's, you know, the older siblings.
Maybe there are people listening at the moment, mums or dads who are listening, and you just want to share with us how you've made it work for you. And maybe that might help other people who are listening. I think it applies to anybody and everybody, whatever your profession, whatever your scenario, whatever your situation. There are things that work and there are things that don't work, and that impacts all of us. Hang on, Nana. I'm just seeing a glimpse of something on your lap. Have you got a blanket on your legs?
I have got a blanket on my legs, like a Nana. It's honestly, I am that cold. I just can't warm up my lower half.
Do you not have the heating on?
The heating is on, but this, I think it's the back, there's a little draft coming from the back door. So I have put a blanket on my legs like a Nana. I've got my little shoes on with furry insoles and everything. I know. What is happening to me?
I should have bought you a draft excluder for Christmas. If only I'd known. Or maybe one of those slippers that fits both feet in.
Yes, I think that's what I need, a slanket thing. I might wrap myself next week. Don't be surprised if I'm just like eyes just appearing in a slanket.
I actually had a cold shower this morning because the temperature has been so extreme that it takes so long for the hot water to get from the tank up to where the shower is. And I let it run, but it was still cold. And it's, but that shows how cold it is. We're just not used to it at all at the moment. So you sit there in your slanket.
I always have that with my hair, where I think, isn't there something that we've been told that if you rinse your conditioner off with cold water, it's much better for your hair follicles or something like that? I don't know, I've read. But I can't even do that. I'm like, no, No, I'm so yet alone cold water swimming. Have you swum recently outdoors? I keep seeing people.
I did, actually. Yeah. Since the new year, I went and played paddle, talking about new things for new year. And I've resisted the urge to play paddle because I keep thinking, oh, it's going to hurt my shoulders. But last night we went, myself and Cass and Coco and Steve Disco, we went and played paddle, but the courts were all outside. I had no idea. And it was absolutely brassic. It was so cold. I could barely hold the racket or the bat or whatever you call it. And it was freezing, but we had so much fun. So I'm now part of the paddle tribe, yes. I think. It feels like it's not so hard to hit the ball as it is with tennis. It didn't take its toll on my hands, which are very arthritic, okay. And my shoulder. So that could be my new sport. And then Coco and I went and swam outside. The pool was heated, I'll be honest with you, but it was still really cold. But the day before, the stupid crazy gang that I live with, so India and Alex and Cass and Jude and Luke and Ollie, the gang, they all went and they swam and the temperature was 1 degree. I kid you not. They went in a lake and it was 1 degree and they came back and they were blue. For hours. Jude was standing there stark bollock naked with a hairdryer just trying to dry himself. And we were like, Jude, put it away. But he was like, I'm so cold.
There is a lot of Jude. He's very, very tall. I'm imagining that would take a very big hairdryer, like a Beyonce style wind machine to warm him up. My goodness me.
Yeah. And the cold water does feel good. Like it helps your joints. It helps helps you feel energized. And ultimately it's a good thing. But I haven't done that. But on the way home last night, stopped at the garage to get a pint of milk and some flowers. Walked in. First thing I see is the Easter egg display.
Oh,
at the
come
garage.
On.
What the fuck?
No.
Honestly.
It's on, is it? It's outrageous.
Slow down. I know. It makes me so angry. It's like we've literally just celebrated the birth of Jesus and now we're going to the death and the resurrection. What the hell is going on?
No, it's outrageous.
People just need to. Need to slow down, enjoy the now, enjoy the present. Don't rush forward to Easter already. We're in January.
No.
It makes me very, very cross.
Marketing people know. We say no to you, you absolute
Yeah, get your
assholes.
Spoon face out.
Seriously, it's like, just let people have a little bit of time. And Jonathan, our producer, is hollering in our ears right now, what about Valentine's Day? He's thinking about the lonely hearts right now.
Let me just get my flowers out. Jonathan, these flowers, these roses are for you.
Skipping straight to Easter. They are relentless, these people. They're relentless. Yes. And it's not on, honestly.
No,
stop with that.
Stop rushing us into the seasons.
Yeah,
we've done Christmas.
On.
Let us enjoy the aftermath. Let us enjoy
Please.
Getting our act together. And then in all good time, we will enjoy Easter. But not now. Put your Easter eggs away.
Thank you very much. Now, January might feel like a dormant time in the garden, but it's actually the perfect moment to plan ahead. Cherry blossom season in the UK runs from late March into May, and it's not too late to plant your own, which is exactly what I'm going to do because I don't have any trees that blossom in the garden. And the great thing is that Garden with Ish is here to show us exactly how to do it.
Hello, Joe and Zoe. It's Ish here on a very, very cold and frosty day. But don't let that put you off being in the garden because there's always something to do. And on my agenda today is dealing with some cherry blossoms. Now, the one thing I love about a cherry blossom is you can't really go wrong with it. And I think it works in pretty much any garden, whether it's country or contemporary. And you don't have to have them in the ground. You can get dwarf varieties like this little Kojo Nomai here, which only gets about 2 metres tall, meaning this works pretty good in a pot. Whilst it may look like I'm holding a miniature diorama of the Whomping Willow, what I've actually got here is a dwarf variety of cherry blossom that is teeming with life. And if you're looking to buy one, especially in January, February, when it's dormant, there's a few things you want to look out for to make sure, well, you've got one that's alive. First of all, have a look at all these buds. If you've got tons of buds here, that's the blossom ready to start in the next few months. And the second thing you want to do is what I call the scratch test, where you literally scratch the bottom of the stem. And if it's green underneath, that means it's absolutely fine. It's ready to go. If it's brown, leave it on the shelf. One of the amazing things about a cherry blossom is just how easy it is to take care of. First of all, these are hardy down to about minus 15 or 20. And down here in Rutland, that's not really an issue whatsoever. And second of all, it can be planted at pretty much any time of the year. If it wasn't minus 4 and rock solid ground, you could plant this today and it'd be absolutely fine. Even in the height of summer, it's okay. It doesn't really care too much about what kind of soil it's in either. It's happy in clay, in free draining soil, even a bit of sandy soil, but it just needs a good watering to get it started. And once it's established, pretty much takes care of itself. So there you have it, my beginner's guide to cherry blossom planting in the winter. Incredibly easy and will last you an absolute lifetime. Expect years and years of amazing blossoms in the spring, but remember, the blossom period is only about a month or so, so whilst it's short-lived, it's still absolutely beautiful. Take care.
I love Ish. He's wonderful, isn't he? His enthusiasm is fabulous. He did a great series with where he did lots of gardening with Lou Sanders, hilarious comedian who
I love
and adore. Cherry blossom. I do this every year. When it's cherry blossom season, I drive around the neighbourhood and I'm in awe of all the blossom. And then I come back to my garden, I think, I haven't got anything that blossoms. So I've just written those down. Kojo, was it Nomai? Kojo Nomai.
I was thinking about was his version of the Whomping Willow, which made me laugh a lot. Exactly. Harry Potter reference there.
Lovely Harry Potter reference.
If, like us, you're completely confused at the moment, just having listened to Ish, all the details are in the Substack and in our show notes. So just go there and there'll be everything referenced and you'll be able to find out what he was talking about and then go and buy the plant or something similar. And if you want even more of Ish, his new show, Today in the Garden, is starting this Thursday on YouTube. Link, again, show notes and Substack. It'll be this Friday. That's when you'll get that. So if you want more Ish, go for that.
Thank you so much, Ish. I shall be going to the garden centre this week and checking out the cherry blossom. How exciting. Did you get any good books or records this Christmas, Joe? Do people buy you music or do they leave it to you?
No, I got two pieces of vinyl from Coco. Everyone bought each other vinyl this year, which was really very lovely. Film soundtracks. I think Steve got Wicker Man from Coco. Oh. She bought me the Charlie Brown Christmas, which was gorgeous. And so we listened to that all through Christmas. And then she also bought me the Barbie soundtrack. So I had that on yesterday when I was taking down the decorations and was listening to Billie Eilish, What Was I Made For? And the Ken song. And it was really good. So they were the vinyl.
I'm just Ken.
I know. I mean, so funny. Just makes me laugh so much. So yeah, nice bits of vinyl. But all very reflective of last year. What about you? Did you get records?
Yes, I got Filmworks Insomnia. This is Robbie Robertson. And because I just watched the Martin Scorsese documentary, Mr. Scorsese, there was a huge section of that with obviously Robbie Robertson from the band. Used to collaborate with him on all the soundtracks for his movies. So this is Robbie talking about collaborating with Martin and also some of the music from his films. And this was one of my favourites that came from The Lodger, Talking Heads, Live on Tour 78, which I didn't have.
Oh, wow.
Which is absolutely fantastic. Massive fan of Talking Heads in this household. And two books that I really loved. Our friend Sophie she's a new friend to me. She's my brother's girlfriend. She's my brother's girlfriend's friend, and she works at Daunt Books in London, which is one of my favourite bookshops. And she bought us all books for Christmas, and she bought me Bread of Angels, Patti Smith, which is glorious. I've really been enjoying that. So thank you very much to Sophie. It was funny because I'd put her in some of our Instagram pictures and somebody had commented, why is Sophie from our bookshop in your photographs? There we go. And then this was a favourite as well. George Harrison, Behind the Locked Door. Amazing book about George Harrison. My favourite Beatle. I don't know if you can choose a favourite Beatle because I love all of them, but I do have a big soft spot for George. So really very much enjoying that as well.
Good luck with that Paul McCartney interview you'll have later on this year.
Oh,
now, when I said that thing about George, what I meant was you are my favourite Beatle.
My favourite Beatle. Oh, that you must have that, though, with your interviews that you have to do. You have to be so careful and diplomatic, don't you, about everything you say about everyone.
You're so cultured with your presence. I got more objects. I got jewellery. I got some really lovely jewellery. I got a very nice necklace, which I'm wearing today, and some earrings from Disco. And then...
Oh, he's good, isn't he?
The kids were so thoughtful. I got a little miniature vintage Spock from Cass because he knows how much I love my Star Trek.
Star Trek. Trying to do fingers.
India and Alex bought me this beautiful glass pear, which is brown and then goes into blue and green as a leaf. It's just a stunning piece of art. And also a Le Creuset pot to put on my oven in the kitchen, which has been decorated recently. So it's a cobalt blue and it's really beautiful. And then Jude bought me a pen. Pens and paper, and he knows how much I love pens, so he bought me a pen. So everything was really incredibly thoughtful, not very cultured, but kind of enhanced my life in a different way to you.
I know. I was really chuffed with all my presents. Do you know what the thing that made me happiest this year, though, was just time with, you know, I got time with my dad and my stepmom.
got time with my kids and my friends, and then some of my brothers. I didn't get to spend Christmas with all my brothers. And can I just say, by the way, that Zach, who is my nephew, who I bought the Willy Wonka Lego for, it went down an absolute treat. And he spent 3 or 4 days building it, and he's built it. I've still yet to see it fully built. But Hayley and Jamie, my brother and sister-in-law, were sending me little updates each day of Zach building the Lego. He's the most gorgeous chap. Aww. And it was probably one of my most successful presents this year. So I am absolutely thrilled that he loved it. Bless him.
Yeah, Christmas was hard. It was really hard, just going very briefly into it, because we talked about how hard it is when you have older relatives. And my mum and dad came and stayed with my sister, and then Steve's mum came as well. And it was really hard for all of us, for us to have them there and for them to be with us as well, because suddenly you find all the furniture that you take for granted, all the little steps that you take for granted when you're an older person, are like mountains, and they're like incredibly uncomfortable to sit in. They were like in a world of pain for the whole time they were with us, trying to get up the steps, get into the kitchen, get from the bedroom into our house. Everything was unbelievably difficult and painful. And Frances was her like usual amazing tornado of give me a present, give me now, give me another one, give me another one, which kind of sounds funny, and it kind of is, but it kind of is really hard as well. So anybody with people with special needs or learning disabilities in their life will know exactly what I'm talking about. It's joyful. It's funny. The way we got through it was, you know, like proper gallows humor. The kids were unbelievably amazing, and there was a lot of laughter, because if you don't laugh, you cry, right?
Yeah.
But it was very, very, very hard work all round. So just for other people who are listening right now, who possibly are feeling like me, we got through Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's done now. And that's good. You know, Christmas can be really, really tough. And it was really tough. But we came out of it, and we got through it with a lot of laughter and a lot of love. And friends and family are unbelievably amazing. And that's what gets you through life. That was my lesson from Christmas this year.
Oh, bless you. Goodness me. I know, it really sounds like you've been through it as well.
Oh, it's so hard.
For all the people who are glad that it's all over, some people are like, thank goodness that's over and it's all packed away.
Yeah, kind of.
And on we go.
But it was lovely as well. There were some really, really beautiful moments in the chaos and the toughness of it all.
Yeah, I think you treasure those moments even more, don't you?
When things are
really tough, when there's a little moment of respite or a little moment of love or a bit of togetherness, you're like, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And you do have an amazing, amazing family. I'm so glad you're all there for each other.
But now it's January, and now we move on and we tackle all those problems that we have at the moment. That's the way I'm feeling at the moment. It's just like, okay, right, the battle's on, the fight's on. Let's sort that out.
And bring it on.
You know, I've had a rest and I've got some renewed energy now to try and sort stuff out, sort people out and help people. And that's the plan from here on in.
That is the plan. Bless you, darling. I'm sending you all loads of love.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the next few days.
Yes. I am going to do my course and tidy away Christmas into the loft, do a bit more sorting, hopefully go to a dance class.
Do some dancing,
The international sign of happy face and not so much face. But anyway, we'll find out next week how I'm feeling.
Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing about the dancing and the course.
Fingers crossed.
All right, lots of love.
Love you.
Don't forget to swim outdoors as well.
Swim outdoors? No chance. Dig It is a Persephonica production.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.